Dear World Radio is interviewing Dipti Bhatnagar. She is the coordinator of the Climate Justice and Energy Program of Friends of the Earth International, but she's also a member of SHA, Friends of the Earth Mozambique, and we are now in Maputo, the capital city of this country. Dipti, welcome to Real World Radio, and I'm really thankful because I'm here in your country, in the country where you are working.
We are very happy to have you here, Jose, with us in Mozambique. It's an amazing experience. We also have people from all over the world. We are hosting the Seeding Climate Justice, the Maputo meeting for the real solutions to the climate crisis. Today is the second day of the meeting. We finished two successful days. Tomorrow is the last day. This meeting is basically to bring together very different types of people to talk about an issue which has serious concerns for all of us. In Mozambique, we will be already facing the impacts of climate change on the most poorest and on the most vulnerable people of this country. At the same time, across Africa, we know that the impacts are going to be very, very severe with the sort of warming that we're going to see. The agriculture is going to start to break down. Floods, more droughts, you know, 1 year flood and the second year drought in the same place. This is the sort of future that we are being told we are going to see across this continent and, of course, across the world, that it's something that we really needed to bring to the people of Mozambique to be able to understand and discuss. So what we've done in this meeting is to bring together communities from all over Mozambique, all 10 provinces. Some are affected by mining, by coal mining, oil exploration, gas exploration, rubies exploration, different types of mining. Some are affected by land grabbing. There's a huge amount of land grab happening in this country. We also have community members from our neighboring countries, especially from South Africa. Our friends have brought communities that are impacted by coal mining, coal power plants, and, you know, some of the fisher folk that are affected by gas refineries. So what we are seeing is an exchange between different communities to be able to understand that their struggles are, while being their own struggles, are connected to others. There's a bigger reason for the struggles, and that there can be solidarity between struggles. But we, not just communities, we're also bringing together Mozambican government officials along with international climate experts, so to speak, and also civil society that's based here in Maputo. So we brought together a big range of people because we really want to be able to make those connections and linkages. And although the meeting is difficult because it is in English and Portuguese at the same time, and even Shangan and Nyungwe, some people, you know, only speak their languages. We have people who, you know a lot about the international climate negotiations, and we have people who have lived beside the Zambezi River their entire life in a hut, and they do not ever have had a light bulb in their house. So we, and at the same time, we have government officials here who, you know, drive fancy cars and represent us in the international negotiations. So we are just trying to make a start at pulling together all of these different types of people to share experiences so that we can really link the local struggles with the international climate narrative, to make sure that the international narrative never ever forgets the struggles are rooted on the ground, and for the people on the ground to never forget that they are connected with so many other struggles across the world, from Latin America, from Malaysia, from Europe, from North America, from all over Africa. You know, we want to build up the connections of struggles.
Yeah, that's something very, very interesting that I have been seeing that's happening inside the room, Dipti. What would you say about the people's reaction, what people is living inside there, and what are the exchanges of the people, which are the most important concerns that they have, maybe those people that are not used to be in touch with international negotiations about climate change and are maybe for the first time listening about that, and at the same time raising their concerns. What are you looking here? in that sense?
I think the scale of the planetary crisis has been quite scary for people, because I mean, for some people that are, you know, communities living on the ground who already have such a difficult life, they're thinking, you know, what the hell is going on? Is it going to get so much worse? And that feeling of, you know, being vulnerable and being unempowered starts to set in, which is why we cannot stop by only talking about the climate crisis. We have to then go on and say, okay, what are our solutions to the crisis? What is happening? And I think that's where today we've been talking about the real people's solutions to the crisis. And we've had community members share what they are doing, what they already have been doing, the way they're saving seeds, the way they're saving forests, the way they're passing down their knowledge through the generations so that, you know, their communities are remaining vibrant. And we need to think together, how do we scale up those solutions so that they're at a bigger level, even solutions of community energy. We've been sharing today what is the future that we want to see. And I think that has been really important for people to hear, but also to realize that they are part of the solution. And what is necessary is organizing people so that the solutions that we put forward become stronger. We force the governments to take notice of our solutions because we are organized. So this meeting is just one step along the way. I mean, it's not even an Africa meeting. It's a regional level, you know, it's a humble effort as much as we were able to do with very limited funds and limited logistics. But we hope that this can become a starting point for a lot of on-the-ground organizing here in Mozambique, in South Africa, in other places, but also to link with, for example, they had an Asian assembly. Some of our allies had a very similar climate justice assembly in Asia. So we really like to put forward our view as from the African perspective, humbly, of course, it's part of the African perspective, and then really try and build a movement together across the world.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely true, and it's really an important. I think it's really an important moment here at Dipti, because at least at the national level, you have a very good presence here with people from all over different parts of the country, and at the same time from different countries of Africa too. And I think it's important for the communities to have this experience. And at the same time, something that was repeated several times. In today, Dipti, was the fact that we have been saying from the communities, we have been saying those are our solutions. We have been saying we have something to say, and our governments are not listening. That's something that seems to be repeated in the different regions, and in the continent. I mean, the countries.
Absolutely, and I think that's where people can feel powerful, because they can feel like that government supposed to represent me. I'm the one who elected them. I'm the one who put them in place. They now need to be accountable to me, and I can fight so that they hear my voice, so that they listen to the people, not the polluters. And that's been, I think that's a realization that people are starting to have today, is that first of all, their solutions matter, their lives matter. You know, the work that they do in the ground, in their communities, is really what is the future that we need. I think that's the message that people are taking. And also that, yes, we need to have power to be able to challenge our governments and you know, not just sit back. I mean, you're seeing some of the people in the room, they fought against colonialism. They fought, you know, some of the people are 60, 70, 80 years old who are here, especially from the southern part, because they came by car, southern part of Mozambique. And you know, they fought against colonialism. They really know what oppression is like, and they know now that the fight doesn't end, because you need to challenge even your own government to say, hey, you're not listening to me. I put you in power. We fought together to you know, send the Portuguese colonial system away. But now you cannot replicate that. You need to be accountable to people. You need to, you know, you need to listen to people, not to the polluting companies which are coming.
And for the communities, it's also like they are recognizing themselves as actors of this crisis, in the sense that we have this to say, you need to listen to us. I mean, they are not leaving the thing for the government. They are taking action on that and trying to be references.
Absolutely. And we've been talking about how, you know, the governments have been meeting for 21 years at the International Climate Space. But what needs to change now is that people are standing up and saying, sorry, we do not sit back and say, okay, governments are doing it, because they are not. And we see the crisis getting worse. It just means that we need to be stronger in holding our governments accountable to be able to do that, to demand that, hey, you need to take action in line with what we are demanding on the ground. And it's so interesting that today we shared in the conference the news that the Dutch people are taking their government to court because they're saying their government is not doing enough to stop climate change. And when we shared that news in English and Portuguese in the meeting today, you could see the room just light up, because people felt like, wow, that's powerful. People do that. We can do that. Okay, we don't, you know, the legal system in Mozambique doesn't work too well. We don't sue our government, but we can hold them accountable in different ways.
Okay, Dipti, at the same time, at the end of the year, we will have again the international negotiations on climate change on the United Nations. Did it have anything to do with the fact that you organized the meeting now? I mean, did you establish that connection between this moment at the end of the year and now?
Not particularly, even though it is an important year for climate, yes. But we think that this is going to be important for many, 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 many years to come. Of course, this is an important year to mobilize, for people to understand what's happening, because there could be a lot of damage done in Paris, and we as citizens of the world need to be aware and need to, of course, make sure our governments do whatever they can to not let have a horrible outcome. But at the same time, this meeting could have been last year, it could have been next year. It is part of a much longer process of movement building on the ground, because that is what is really going to stop climate change, not the Paris negotiations this year, not Lima last year, not Morocco next year, but it's going to be the people holding their governments accountable at the local level, national level, and then at regional and international levels as well, to be able to stop this crisis.
Dipti, we are ending the second day of the meeting, as you said. Have you had any kind of reaction from the governmental officials that have been participating here until now?
Actually, we have been very surprised by the reaction of all the government people that are present here. There is a certain humility, there is a certain camaraderie that we have never seen before, or if we have, then not in this form. And it's interesting because they also need help and capacity. The thing is, we forget that when the Mozambique government goes to the international negotiations, they go with one or two people, and on the other side you have United States with, I don't know how many, 50 people. So they can easily be bullied. And they're also, if they are genuinely interested in making change and in listening to their people, that starts on the local level and the national level, in the policies and the laws that they not only create but how they implement it. And then, of course, if they need help and capacity in understanding issues on the international level, we have so many amazing resource people within the Friends of the Earth Federation, within Justice Ambiental, within so many of our allies. We can offer that help and say, you have this help to make so that you are stronger against this, you know, horrible United States negotiators, but don't mess us up at home. Because the first thing you need to do is to make sure your communities are secure, they have land rights sorted out, you're not doing mining and throwing them off their land and you know, just doing this horrible export-oriented development path that is going to reach us in the same place. So we need coherence with what happens at home and what happens abroad, but that we're ready to help with with for them to understand better these issues, because some of them are really complicated, and we will offer the help that we have.
Okay, Diti Bhatnagar, Friends of Yes International Coordinator of the Climate Justice and Energy Program, and a member of JA, Friends of Yes Mozambique. Thank you very much, Diti.
Thank you.